SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are live right here on Football Full Circle to start off a new week on Sports Grid Radio. He is the mastermind of the pigskin. That is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. Lisi guy, on this Monday, we react to everything we saw over this past weekend in the football realm. Of course, the second full Sunday slate of this National Football League regular season in 2023, and week number three, the third Saturday in September of the college football campaign as well. Lisi guy, we are back. We are ready. FFC begins right now.
Oh, what a weekend of college and pro football. I mean, every game, Ben, I mean, from 12 o'clock on Saturday straight through the night game in terms of the Patriots and the Miami Dolphins was a fantastic weekend of football. I mean, just unbelievable upsets. We saw it, obviously, in the college realm Saturday night, and then we saw what transpired yesterday, especially in terms of the early kicks. We saw the L.A. Chargers, Cincinnati Bengals both lose. They're now 0-2. And we saw one of the best comebacks in Giants history by Danny Dimes and the New York Giants. An amazing weekend of football all around.
Just an incredible weekend, and we will fly around on this Monday live right here on Football Full Circle. We start in the NFL. We'll touch on college football later because, Lisi, week number three was great, chaotic, tough to be a big favorite last Saturday. Week number four might be an all-timer. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. But, Joe, let's start with Sunday night football in the National Football League in Foxborough, the home of the New England Patriots. An AFC East rivalry between the Pats and the Dolphins. We welcome in, by the way, our Sirius XM audience here on Sports Grid Radio. It's Football Full Circle. Sirius XM channel 159. That's the home for Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM. All right, Lisi guys, Sunday night football between the Dolphins and the Patriots. Miami, a perfect 2-0 to start this season. Both of their wins, Joe, coming on the road. First weekend of the year, outright as a 3-point underdog in LA last night, holding on in the fourth quarter despite New England making things rather interesting. 24-17, the Dolphins covering as a 1.5-point road favorite.
Yeah, it was a great win by Miami, not just from an offensive perspective. Tua stepped up with over 240 passing yards, one touchdown, one interception, but it really was the defense that really shut down the New England rushing attack, right? Held New England to only 88 yards on the ground, 3.5 yards per carry. They made Mac Jones and that offense completely one-dimensional and forced them to play from behind, and that's the MO and the weakness right now of the Patriots offense. Unless they dictate the tempo, they're going to be behind the eight ball as it relates to games. And you know, this was a gutty win. You know, credit Mike McDaniel and the offensive staff for having the team prepared. They went in there and they found a way to grind out a divisional win, and that's amazing when you think about it. This team now looks like potentially the best team in the AFC East.
And Lisi guy, we have seen the Dolphins now become the AFC East favorites. We have seen Miami shoot up the board in the AFC title prices, now plus 750, that fourth best number. Lisi, what do we talk about all the time? What is the sign of a really good football team? It's winning games in a variety of ways. They jump out to a big lead last night, the offense looking as explosive as it did the week prior in Los Angeles, a 17-3 halftime lead over New England. Then things got a little dicier there in the fourth quarter, but Miami still held on. Joe, we thought after giving up over 200 yards of rushing offense to LA the week prior that the Patriots were going to pound the rock, use that physicality with Ramondre Stevenson. 15 carries, 50 yards for Stevenson. As a team, New England only 25 attempts for 88 yards. A much more stout effort out of Vic Fangio's defense. Huge to see that improvement on a week-to-week basis. And Lisi, on the other side, side, Tua Tagovailoa was sensational again. 21-30, 249, a touchdown, albeit an interception. But it was on the ground, Lisey. Unlike 466 in the game against the Bolts, it was less than 250 for the Dolphins offensively through the air. Tyreek Hill had five grabs for 40 yards, not the 11 for 215 and two scores he had the week prior, but it was Raheem Mostert. 18 carries, 121 yards, and two touchdowns. The Dolphins going to the ground to pick up a divisional win, and Lisey, two road wins for Miami to start off this year. An incredibly impressive beginning of 2023 for Mike McDaniel and the Fins.
It was. At 4.8 yards per carry, that's a dynamic effort out of the offensive line. If you're looking big picture for the Miami Dolphins, that's what you want to see. You get over 140 yards on the ground, average almost 5 yards per carry. You're in manageable third down situations. You're moving the chains, and that's how you win big ball games in terms of the playoffs, right? Super Bowl winners always run the football, and that's exactly what you want to see out of the Miami Dolphins, to build up the intensity, the mental resolve to win in tough environments. They're going to have to potentially go up against the likes of Kansas City and Pat Mahomes. You never know. They were on the road last year in Orchard Park against Josh Allen. So this is what it's all about. That was an all-around effort by the Miami Dolphins. And again, I put them based off this performance and how they won. I'm a believer now that they are the best team entering week three in the AFC East.
When you look at where things stand, again, the favorites in the AFC East, Lisey Guy, but a big victory for the Buffalo Bills yesterday. The Bills bouncing back at home in their home opener in Western New York, as was anticipated. They closed as a 7.5-point favorite, Joe, did Buffalo against the Las Vegas Raiders. It was actually Vegas that scored the opening touchdown of the game to take an early 7-zip lead before Buffalo fired back. 38-10, the final, Joe, in favor of the Buffalo Bills. They cover as a 7.5-point favorite. And Lisey, what I believe is probably the best sign for the Buffalo Bills, zero turnovers out of Josh Allen. 274 passing yards, three passing scores. He had three INTs and a fumble against the Jets. Zero in a good way, a goose egg in terms of the turnover component on Sunday at home.
Yeah, and it was two players that got involved in terms of the receiving game as well. Gabe Davis with 92 yards and a touchdown. It wasn't Stephon Diggs. And the rookie out of Utah, Dalton Kincaid, that stepped up and paid dividends for that offense. So then now, Josh Allen, outside of Stephon Diggs, has multiple weapons that he can attack opposing defenses for. And this is what you want to see. Now Josh Allen can open up his game, not just through the air. We only saw 7 rushing yards, but if we see that component as the season progresses, they're going to be right there with the Miami Dolphins.
No doubt about it. The Buffalo Bills, Joe, did lose week number one, of course, in a divisional game against the New York Jets. And for the New York Jets on Sunday in the first game without Aaron Rodgers, a difficult time. Zach Wilson, Joe, throws 3 interceptions. He was their leading rusher with 36 yards on the ground. The Jets ran for 64 as a team. Not the production they were looking for against the Cowboys, as Dallas wins 30-10 and covers as an 8.5-point favorite. Joe, we'll talk about this game on the other side. Because if you thought glass half full for New York, even losing Aaron Rodgers for the year, it was defense leading the way for Gang Green and a talented backfield led by Dalvin Cook and Breece Hall. None of that was on display against Dallas on Sunday. That's where we'll start as we continue reacting to week two of the NFL season next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are back on FFC. Lisi, we ended our first segment, still reacting to NFL week number two, by talking about the New York Jets. And Joe, we talked about this all last week, right? What would the aftermath be for Gang Green with the absence of Aaron Rodgers? They won that Monday Night Football game a week ago. That seemed a little bit lost in the history of what was a traumatic loss of taking Aaron Rodgers out for the remainder of this year with the torn Achilles in his left leg. But Joe, when you looked at that game for the New York Jets, if you were trying to be an optimist, you would have said they ran it with the best of them. Breece Hall, 10 carries, 129 yards, and the defense was as elite as you will find. One thing Zach Wilson had to do was take care of the football, and maybe the Jets would be more competitive than people gave them a chance to be. Zach Wilson turned the ball over three times, three interceptions yesterday, Joe, against the Cowboys. The Cowboys scored 30 points, but they made five field goals. It wasn't like they paid off the turnovers in the biggest way, but they did cover as an 8.5-point home favorite, Joe, winning 30-10.
Yeah, when Zach Wilson throws three picks and is the leading rusher, that's not a good sign for your offense, right? They needed the rushing attack of Breece Hall and Dalvin Cook to get going. They couldn't do that, and their defense was up against it each and every drive. That's exactly what happened. You know, they bent, but they didn't break until basically the second half, and at the end of the day, still a quality win for the Dallas Cowboys against a very good defensive front seven. At the end of the day, this Jets team thought there was optimism, but again, we know what Zach Wilson is, right? It's a lot different coming off the bench with no expectations, right? And pulling out that victory, albeit by a punt return, than going on the road against one of the top defenses in the NFC and all of the NFL potentially, and having to make plays through the air. And that is the biggest thing. 12 to 27, Ben. I mean, that's what you see out of some of the rookies. And we didn't even see that out of C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, or Anthony Richardson. That's how bad of a performance it was for Zach Wilson. I don't know. I don't know where the Jets turn, but at the end of the day, they're not going to be a playoff team if they continue to turn the football over and are inconsistent out of the quarterback position. Yeah. And if they have no running game, they're gonna get blown out each and every week.
Absolutely so, Joe. Absolutely so. There was a report over the weekend that after a successful surgery on that torn Achilles, there is a hope for Aaron Rodgers. He could be available for the playoffs. I think first and foremost, Joe, it's a huge if, and I mean if, Zach Wilson can lead the New York Jets to the postseason. But if he does, then why wouldn't Zach Wilson remain the starting quarterback if he is the guy to bring them there? Again, a big if, and the Jets aren't sniffing the playoffs if they play in the fashion they did yesterday against the Dallas Cowboys. Elsewhere, Joe, the Chiefs get their first victory of the year on the road in the AFC divisional round rematch from last season. The Chiefs win 17-9 against the Jaguars. Joe, it came nowhere close to the total. It was the highest over-under of week number two, 50.5. But for the Chiefs, they get their first win of the year. They cover as a 3.5-point favorite. Travis Kelce was back, targeted 9 times, only 4 grabs for 26 yards, but a touchdown that was pivotal. And Chris Jones, Joe, playing on somewhat of a pitch count or snap count, had a sack and a half and a tackle for loss. Big there for the Chiefs defensively.
Yeah, they trailed for much of the first half until about like 5 minutes, and then they got the lead 7-3. They held the 7-6 halftime lead and tacked on another touchdown in the third quarter and never looked back from that point. You know, I think the biggest thing for me was that Sky Moore got involved. He struggled week one in the loss to Detroit. He stepped up with 74 yards and a touchdown. We saw the consistency. When Travis Kelce only has 26 yards, even on 4 receptions and a touchdown, that's a dynamic effort out of the Jacksonville defense to contain him for the most part. But when you can't run the football, again, I thought the key for Jacksonville was to utilize Travis Etienne, utilize Tank Bigsby. And they only rushed it for 76 yards on the ground. Lawrence, a buck 97 through the air. They were inconsistent on third downs as well. You're not going to beat the Chiefs with that type of effort. So it's an ugly win, but it's a quality win because I think Jacksonville is one of the better teams in the AFC this year.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? Trevor Lawrence pointed at himself after the football game, Joe, and said so many offensive opportunities missed for Jacksonville on Sunday. To hold the Kansas City Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes throwing for over 300 yards and Isaiah Pacheco running for 70 on the ground and a team that featured the return of Travis Kelce to 17 points because you turn the Chiefs over twice That's a really big miss by Jacksonville to not have the offense on the other side. Only 9 points for the Jags, not a single touchdown, just 3 field goals for Jacksonville. Not the way they were hoping to draw it up, Joe, and they feel as though they missed an opportunity to take that next step and enter into a different, at least, perspective, I should say, in the AFC. Joe, right now, it's not Buffalo, it's not Cincinnati with the second best price to win the AFC. It's the Baltimore Ravens, because the Flock go to Cincy yesterday, win outright as a 3.5-point underdog in Cincinnati against the Bengals, 27-24. And Joe, what stands out is Baltimore did that with so many injuries on both sides of the football. Odell Beckham Jr. banged up in the game. They already entered missing 2 offensive line starters in Ronnie Staley and Tyler Linderbaum. On the other side, Joe, a lot of issues defensively for Baltimore, and they beat the Bengals 27-24. Baltimore a perfect 2-0, but on the other side, Joe, the Bengals 0-2.
Yeah, and they contained Ja'Marr Chase. Ja'Marr Chase was basically non-existent. It was T. Higgins. So when Lamar throws for over 200 with 2 touchdowns, you get the productivity out of Gus Edwards and the rushing attack. They average close to 5 yards per carry at 4.8. What does that say? You're keeping Joe Burrow and that offense on the sidelines, and that was a gutty effort. Now, they got going in the second half, so I think, you know, big picture, we have to see how Cincinnati responds in week number 3. But at the end of the day, Baltimore again now with Cleveland potentially playing the best right now entering week 3, and that's how we have to take it. When you have these black and blue divisions, I'm talking about the NFC North and the AFC North, you sort of monitor it week to week, because we know all 4 of these potential teams have the capability to potentially win the division. But right now it is Baltimore and Cleveland, in my opinion, playing better than anybody in the division right now.
Since he only had 282 yards of total offense, Joe, through 2 games, that's an average now of 212. For Cincinnati, that is the worst total offense in the National Football League at this moment. The Bengals, Joe, aren't just 0-2 winless like they were to start off last year, and they made it all the way back to the AFC Championship game. They're winless in 2 losses being within the division. A loss to Cleveland week 1, a loss to Baltimore week number 2. For the 2-time defending AFC North champion Cincinnati Bengals that entered the year as the favorites to make it 3 in a row, they now have the 3rd best price. Baltimore, the even money favorite, plus 100. Cleveland, plus 220 in that 2nd best spot. And Cincinnati, plus 550. We'll see what this division has, Joe, and the odds update tomorrow after a Monday Night Football game tonight in the Steel City between the Steelers and the Browns. But certainly not where anybody expected Cincinnati to be. And Joe Burrow talked about after the game, restraining, or at least re-aggravating, I guess is the better word, Joe, that right calf injury that had him on the shelf for all of preseason and a good majority of training camp. That should be a concerning issue for the Bengals moving forward.
It should, and you know, I brought it up all offseason with you, and we talked about it even in our breakdown entering week 1, that if Joe Burrow wasn't 100%, Ben, what was the need to rush him back? You'd rather have Joe Burrow 100% healthy in the middle or to the late part of the season, as opposed to now maybe shelving him for the next 6 to 8 weeks. Makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah, we'll see exactly. Joe Burrow did say if there was an opportunity offensively for Cincy to come out and try to tie the game before Baltimore iced it away, he would have played, but we'll see what moves forward for the Bengals. Not the start anybody envisioned. We'll talk about some late game thrillers in the NFL. All that we saw yesterday on the Sunday slate. That and more up next on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are back live right here on Football Full Circle. He's Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. Lisi guy, you can't tell me that head coaches around the National Football League don't know what the point spread is, because yesterday in L.A., the Rams' home opener, they closed as a 7-point favorite, but in some spots, Joe, it was 7 and a hook. And earlier in the week, it was 8.5 in favor of San Francisco on the road in SoCal against the Rams. I know, Lisi guy, that's where you got it. And in a 30-20 football game in which the Niners had been in control for most of the second half, the Rams were driving down the field, a weird 2-minute drill, and they kicked a field goal, Joe. Brett Maher, 38-yarder, as time expired, to make it a 7-point game, and the Rams coming through the back door for a cover. Joe, San Francisco won outright, in control for most of that second half. Kyle Shanahan knocks off his old pal Sean McVay for the 9th consecutive time in a regular season matchup. But depending on where you got the number, either it was a push or a Rams cover. Lisi guy, great teams do happen to cover.
They do. He was trying to win the game. I mean, down 10, you kick the field goal, hope there's 1 second left, you get right. The onside kick, and you throw
and
a Hail Mary. That was
right.
The perfect
yeah.
call. That's more coaches should do what Sean McVay did. Great job, McVay. I love it.
Yeah.
Now, the game aspect, Ben, McCaffrey with over 100 yards. I thought the defense didn't play all that bad for the L.A. Rams. You know, at the end of the day, when you force, you know, Brock Purdy to no touchdowns, no interceptions, a pedestrian 206 yards, at the end of the day, that's not a bad effort, right? But we talk about the rushing attack for some teams, how critical they are. Teams like New England, teams now like San Francisco, that's a front runner for the NFC. If the rushing attack is there, they're very difficult to beat, and that's what they did. They wore down the L.A. Rams. They jumped up early. It was 17-17, and Brock Purdy made some plays to pull out that ball game. I think it was 13-13, and they pulled away, got the 10-point fourth quarter lead, and at the end of the day, it looks a lot better than what it was for the L.A. Rams.
I mean, the Rams were down by a touchdown midway through the fourth. Matthew Stafford threw a costly interception, one of two that he threw on the day. Some on the game broadcast, like Mark Sanchez was highlighting, not a great route from Van Jefferson that messed with the progression for Stafford. Regardless, the Niners played clean football once again. The Rams did not. Joe, a very versatile rushing attack for San Francisco. CMC, Christian McCaffrey, has been over 100 yards now in each of the first two games so far this year. The Niners ran it for a 188 on the ground against Pittsburgh, 159 rushing yards yesterday against the Rams. Brock Purdy, Deebo Samuel, and Christian McCaffrey all scored a rushing touchdown. But on the other side, Joe, in the absence of Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua, the rookie wide receiver out of BYU, has made history. 15 grabs on 20 targets yesterday for 147 yards. He now has 25 total grabs in his first two NFL career games. That is the most ever for an NFL player in the history of this league in terms of the most receptions in their first two career games. He is also the only player, Joe, in NFL history to have at least 10 grabs and at least 100 receiving yards in each of his opening two NFL career games. Puka Nacua has become the guy for Matthew Stafford. He has become that main target in the absence of Cooper Kupp, and he made history, Joe, to start this year.
Yeah, I mean, him and Tutu Atwell, the speedster out of Louisville, I tell you, are two promising stars for this L.A. Rams offense, right?
Yeah.
If Cooper Kupp does come back from the IR at some point and you pair him with these two players, they're going to have a dynamic offense. I mean, Matt Stafford is playing really well, back-to-back 300-yard games. The rushing attack wasn't there with Kyren Williams as consistent as it was in the second half against Seattle, and that's why potentially they lost this ball game. They were put into some predictable long third downs in the second half, couldn't pull it out. But I tell you what, I think from what I've seen and how they've played in the first 2 weeks, I think the Rams is going to be there in terms of potentially the second best team in the NFC West right now. I don't think it's Seattle, even though they got the win over Detroit. The way the Rams are playing, not just offensively, but even defensively as well, they're a lot better than their preseason 5.5 win total, Ben.
Certainly so, Joe. Could not agree more. A very optimistic start for the Rams. Rams despite the loss yesterday against San Francisco. Let's get to the craziness, Joe, that we saw. Two overtime games yesterday on Sunday. Those Seahawks, who you mentioned, coming back to defeat the Detroit Lions in a game that went to the extra session. They've played each other now, Joe, in the three consecutive regular seasons. In 2021, it was the Seahawks victorious in a game that featured 80 points. Last year, in the one of the first games of the first month of last season, it was a game at 48-45. Seattle won with 93 combined points. And Lisi, yesterday over the total as well, the Seahawks coming back in the second half, winning 37-31 in overtime over that total of 47.5. 68 combined points between the Seahawks and the Lions.
Yeah, man, I didn't see this one coming. I was wrong on this one. I thought it would be Detroit. I thought it would be a lower scoring game, but credit Geno Smith in that offense. Over 300 yards passing, two touchdowns. I mean, hit multiple receivers. DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett came back. So, again, they looked like the team that we saw last year. I will say the one downside for both teams, Kenneth Walker, 43 yards or 50 yards, not even, on 17 carries. That's it. They need a better effort out of the rushing attack. And for Detroit, David Montgomery goes down. Right? So that opens the door for Jahmyr Gibbs. See, they're going to need the rushing attack as well for them to be successful. Great win by the Seattle Seahawks. Again, I didn't see it coming, but that's a quality road win for Geno Smith and the crew.
Certainly so. They came back, Joe, which is something they did not do in the opener against L.A. In fact, they were shut out in the second half, lifeless offensively in the second half against the Rams. Yesterday, 24 points in the second half against Detroit, and of course, the six-yard touchdown toss to Tyler Lockett. Some in the Motor City would say for the Lions that Aiden Hutchinson was held on that game-winning touchdown toss from Geno Smith to Lockett. Ultimately, though, Seattle gets the victory and wins outright as a 4.5-point underdog. And Joe, that's an interesting part of this conversation as well. The Lions, the underdog week one against the Chiefs, but the Lions, the front runners in the NFC North. They will be the favored side a ton this year. They're now 3-3 against the spread as a favorite under Dan Campbell, dating back to the start of 2021. Joe, you mentioned it at the top. The other overtime game that we had, the Titans knocking off the Chargers 27-24. Midway through the fourth quarter, the Bolts had another fourth quarter lead. Tennessee takes it back. LA makes a field goal as time expires to send it to the overtime session. But the Chargers punt on their opening offensive possession, so the Titans drive it down the field and kick the game-winning field goal, Joe, to come back to win in overtime 27-24 outright as a slight 2.5-point underdog. The second straight week, Joe, for LA, a fourth quarter lead is blown. The Chargers are 0-2.
Yeah, all on Brandon Staley. They wasted a 300-yard effort out of Justin Herbert. I mean, yeah. At the end of the day, Joshua Kelly, the rushing attack, wasn't as dominant as they were in week one against the Dolphins, nowhere near 233 yards. But on the flip side, I mean, Treylon Burks stepped up. Ryan Tannehill stepped up. I mean, Derrick Henry only had 80 yards on the ground. That defense forced L.A. to methodically work down the field. They didn't give up a huge amount of chunk plays, and that's why they were able to win it yesterday afternoon in Nashville.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Joe. Only 61 rushing yards for the Chargers, who lit up the Miami Dolphins week number one, albeit again in a losing effort where they coughed up a fourth quarter lead. When you look at LA, Joe, very interesting to see how that offense works with a different dynamic without Eckler. 21 carries, 61 yards, and Joshua Kelly not nearly as involved in the passing attack like Eckler is, who can do it all. We'll see what his health status is moving forward. Did miss week number two. So those were the overtime games, Joe, but they probably weren't the craziest games of the afternoon. That would be the historic comebacks we saw in Arizona by the Giants and in Denver by the Commanders. Let's start there, Joe. Washington down 18 midway through the second quarter. It seemed like Russ was finally cooking once again. It's a 21-3 game, Joe, midway through the second. Before Sam Howell and the Commanders come all the way back to win 35-33. But before that, Joe, it was Russell Wilson, the final drive of the game, a 50-yard Hail Mary into the end zone, tipped around what seemed to be like 10 times and into the arms of Brandon Johnson for what would have been in the potential game-tying score, except the two-point conversion attempt from Russ and that Broncos offense failed. Benjamin Sejuice makes a defensive play on the ball. Some in the Mile High City were looking for a PI call on Cortland Sutton, the intended target of Russell Wilson. It was not thrown, and Washington holds on, Joe, 35-33, coming back from down 18 in the second quarter.
Yeah, McLaurin, I mean, Antonio Gibson in the receiving game, but I think this is all Eric Bieniemy. I really do. I mean, this team, from an offensive perspective, is distributing the football. They're more balanced. They have a trigger man in terms of Sam Howell that threw for 299 yards. Eric Bieniemy's input into this team in offense is clearly showing. I don't give any credit to Ron Rivera. I do give it to Eric Bieniemy because we saw the Chiefs' offense struggle in back-to-back weeks, and now Washington is 2-0 overall. On the flip side, hey, I talked about it with you all offseason. I didn't believe Russell Wilson is the same quarterback, even though he threw for over 300. This team attached themselves, and Sean Payton did, to Russell Wilson. Now he has to live with the circumstances because it's just a matter of time before they implode.
And Joe, that's the point. The Broncos have started off 0-2 now, at home in both of their games, winless, losing outright as at least a field goal favorite in both. The hope was not for a 5-12 team, Joe, in Denver last year to come back and hopefully maybe win 7 or 8 games. It was playoffs or bust, and it seems like they are having a tough time to start in Denver. More FFC next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are back live right here on FFC. So, Lisi guy, the Commanders make a historic comeback yesterday on a Sunday in Mile High. Washington, Joe, a perfect 2-0 to start off this year. They are one of three teams in the NFC East off to a perfect 2-0 start alongside Philadelphia and Dallas. And thankfully, Joe, for the New York Giants, there are no winless teams any longer in the NFC East. As the Giants come back from down 20-0 at the halftime break to pull off the stunner in the desert over the Arizona Cardinals. 31-28, the victory for New York. It was the largest comeback effort in Giants franchise history, Joe Lisi. A historic day for Big Blue and Brian Daboll as well.
Yeah, it was. They were making Josh Dobbs look like he was back with Butch Jones in Knoxville in Tennessee where, you know, he was playing Iowa in the bowl game. I mean, like, really? I don't know what they were doing. Offensive line was atrocious just from what we saw in the first half against Dallas. I mean, pitiful. That was a pitiful first half performance. But yeah, credit Brian Daboll, the offensive staff, for putting the ball into their quarterback and playmaker's hands. He attacked that defense early, often, 321 yards. A multitude of wide receivers got involved. We saw Darren Waller. We saw Hodgins. We saw, I mean, the list goes on and on in terms of how many players he found. That's a testament to the progression, possibly, of where Daniel Jones is come under the tutelage of Brian Daboll. And you know what? Yep. They just, in the second half, they deserved to win that ball game because, you know, Gannon's inexperience shone through, and that's why Daboll had the Giants in the playoffs last year. Great win. He made me some money. I'm very happy.
Yeah, Daniel Jones was pretty good when you look at the overall box score, Joe. 26 of 37, 321 yards, 2 touchdowns, and an interception. But, of course, he keeps showing off the legs. 9 carries, 59 yards, and a score. Joe, after being held scoreless for their first 6 quarters of the 2023 NFL season, the Giants scored on all 5 of their offensive possessions in the second half, including the game-winning field goal for New York. 4 touchdowns to start as well. The only bit of bad news for the Giants, despite not covering as a 4.5-point favorite, Saquon Barkley, Joe, injured late in the fourth quarter. It is what the Giants are calling a right ankle sprain. But, Lisi, we had Dr. Chow on the early line on this Monday, and he said that based on the information and the video evidence they had examined at SixScore.com that they believe it's a right high ankle sprain for Saquon Barkley. There is no chance, or very little chance, I should say, that Saquon plays on the short turnaround Thursday night in San Francisco against the 49ers, and that Barkley, Joe, might be sidelined a few weeks.
Yeah, I mean, again, just like Joe Burrow, don't rush him back. You need him for potentially a playoff run, whether it be wild card or a divisional round. And this might benefit the Giants offense because now they can rely on their quarterback. I think, big picture, if the Giants are going to get back to the playoffs and maybe make another run, that offense needs to be humming in terms of the passing attack. So Maybe a little bit one-dimensional for a couple of weeks. But if Daniel Jones plays the way he did in the second half of that matchup, I think the Giants are going to be just fine, Ben.
Yeah, a couple of other games just to report on, Joe. The Falcons storm back in the fourth quarter. They were down by multiple scores. They come back to beat the Packers, winning outright at home but not covering as a three-point favorite, 25-24. In the battle of rookie quarterbacks, Joe, it lasted really only for one half. Anthony Richardson's Colts did knock off the Houston Texans 31-20, but it was Gardner Minshew in there for a good majority of the second half. Richardson, Joe, had two rushing scores early in the game, but on the second touchdown, his head banged against the turf. He was in concussion protocol, could not finish. And then finally, Joe, you and I have been big believers in Justin Fields ever since he left Ohio State in the draft cycle leading into April of 2021. Yesterday was a bad day to be a believer in Justin Fields. He did go over his passing yards prop that was low and disrespectful at 169.5 for a second consecutive week. But, Joe, the Bears looked lifeless. They lose 27-17 against the Buccaneers, the 12th straight loss for Chicago, and in all 12 losses, they have given up at least 25 points. And Justin Fields, Joe, man, he looked lost at times behind the offensive line, not taking the easy throws, not making plays or reading or going through progressions like you would expect out of an NFL starting quarterback, certainly not in year number three. Not a great day, Joe. Hand up to be a Justin Fields sympathizer.
Yeah, I'm still backing it, but you know what? There's a couple of things I want to say about this. I put a lot of blame on Matt Eberflus, who's, by the way, supposed to be one of the top defensive coordinators, right, in the game. That's why he got the job. Well, that defense sucks right now. You're allowing Baker Mayfield and a pedestrian rushing attack, in terms of the Buccaneers to attack you over the top, on the ground. It didn't matter. And the second thing is, yes, I understand what you're saying about Justin Fields, but they go into each and every ball game, Ben, one-dimensional with the mindset, we're going to run it first, and then if we fall behind, we're going to pass it. That's not the way you have to attack Justin Fields and make him progress. How about you go into a game saying, we're going to be aggressive early on first and second down. We're going to throw it. We're going to put the ball into Justin Fields' hands, and we're going to allow him to cook and be aggressive with the play calling, and then if we have success, then we could run it later in the ballgame. They're always throwing when they're down, and that's not the way to attack it or really help Justin Fields in terms of his progression as an NFL quarterback. He's completely one-dimensional after they're down in the deficit.
Yeah, completely agree. Luke Getsy as a play caller, not really understanding, I think, how to best utilize and highlight what Justin Fields has and is capable of doing. But I don't know how much more time he's going to get, Joe, if the Bears continue to struggle. It's the nature of the National Football League. Sometimes you're in a bad situation for all involved, and the vibes are just off, and you got to change something, whether that's head coach, offensive coordinator, or quarterback. Something is not working for this Chicago team at the moment. All right, Joe, let's talk some Monday Night Football. A doubleheader of action to end out week number two. In Carolina, it's the Panthers and the Saints. New Orleans, a three-point favorite. The over-under 39.5. The total, Joe, smaller even in the second Monday Night Football game that kicks off about an hour later at 8:15 p.m. Eastern time in Pittsburgh between the Steelers and the Browns. That number 38 and a hook. Pittsburgh a 2.5-point home underdog against Cleveland. Joe, what's your evaluation for these two Monday Night Football games?
Well, I like one dog and I like one favorite, believe it or not. I do like the Carolina Panthers at home against the Saints. I know it's Bryce Young. I know the quarterback advantage is Derek Carr, but I think that they could step up. I like what they have. Again, in the second half, they got a little conservative. I'm not a buyer of Dennis Allen, especially in a road spot. I understand it's a divisional game, but I'm taking the home dog in terms of that environment. I'm jumping up on Bryce Young over his 189.5 total. On the flip side, I like New Orleans. Big wide receiver Juwan Johnson, right? The former Oregon and Penn State wide receiver, 24.5. I think he could eat tonight. And I'm laying it with the Browns. I think the Browns clearly have the better defense, and I think they're the more consistent offense right now. Not sure what Kenny Pickett's going to give you. So I'm laying the 2.5. I'm a buyer of this team, and I think they're potentially with Baltimore, like I said, right now, two of the best teams in the division.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Joe, I look right now at where things are in these two matchups, and I'm going to go to the other side. I'm not sure New Orleans covers tonight. Don't love that number. Don't love what things are. I look at a couple of props in this football game. I think you're still getting a discount on Michael Thomas, 51.5 receiving yards. It's a big if, Joe, if Michael Thomas is going to stay healthy for the remainder of this year. But if he does, that's a discounted number. That's not going to be 51.5 for a lot longer. 5 grabs, 61 yards last week. I think it's also worth looking at Chris Olave. His receiving yards prop, 72.5. 8 grabs, 10 targets, 112 yards last week in the opener and the victory against Tennessee. 72.5 might be light for him. I think the Saints are going to throw the football more against this Panthers team that is probably missing both of its starting cornerbacks, and we know J.C. Horn is out for the foreseeable future for Carolina. I would look at New Orleans being able to move the ball through the air tonight against the Panthers. And how about this, Joe? A kicking prop for you. Blake Groupie, the rookie kicker. Out of Notre Dame, 3 for a perfect 3 in his debut in the National Football League last week for the Saints. In terms of field goals, made his only extra point on New Orleans' only touchdown. That's 10 points. His kicking prop is 6.5 points. I think he goes over that number. Joe, the total's 39.5. It's not like we're expecting to see touchdown after touchdown after touchdown. I think field goals come into play. I'm looking at Blake Groupie in that first of two Monday Night Football games. New Orleans in Carolina kicks off around 7:15 p.m. Eastern time. Joe, the Pittsburgh Steelers, under Mike Tomlin, now into the second game of year number 17, have been the best underdog team under Tomlin at the helm since the start of 2007. 51-31-5 against the spread, but even more impressive than that, Joe, 42-45 straight up. I don't think the Steelers start 0-2 this year. Give me the Steelers' money line tonight against the Browns.
Yeah, we're in disagreement, and I understand why you're going there, you know, in regards to Tomlin and how he's just coached this team up, but I didn't like what I saw week one. And again, that was a home game. They've had it all offseason to prepare for the San Francisco 49ers, and they basically stepped up, and I thought they came out a little flat, especially once they fell behind in the first half of that ball game to just only put up basically 7 points and never really threaten the rest of the game is a terrible performance by that offense, and it comes down to Kenny Pickett. I will say this, you know, when I look at this ball game, it's going to be might be a lower scoring game as we believe, right? Deshaun Watson's total is 199.5. I sort of like him to go through that. Only had 142 last week because of how bad Joe Burrow and that offense were. Joe Burrow had 82 yeah. passing yards last week. So, you know what? Again, it comes down to the front seven. I think Myles Garrett and Cleveland are better than where T.J. Watt and Pittsburgh are. It's going to be a black and blue game, but give me the road team. I think they potentially win it 3-7. It's probably going to be right on the spread for most of the game.
Yeah, I mean, both games are a field goal or less, both totals less than 40. We're expecting some grinded out type football in this doubleheader on Monday night. Joe, I would look at the ground for Cleveland. Nick Chubb, 82.5, his rushing yards prop. Again, I think it's a little bit light. He had 18 carries for 106 yards last week against the Cincinnati Bengals. He has gone over 82.5 in each of the first 5 games for Cleveland last year as well. He starts hot. The legs are fresh. I think they focus on the ground, and the Niners put up a 188 against the Steelers a week ago. I also look at Najee Harris, Joe. 49.5. for Harris, his rushing yards prop. Joe, last year, the Steelers turned their season around, right, to finish a game above 500, and Kenny Pickett became solidified as the starting quarterback. He was injured early in the opening quarter of a divisional game against Baltimore on December 11th. But in the other seven games that he was fully healthy to end out the year, in which Pittsburgh won six of them, he threw the ball more than 30 times, only once in those six victories. Last week, Joe, the Niners came out blitzed the Steelers. Kenny Pickett threw the ball 46 times. I don't think that's a recipe for offensive success. I think they will go to the ground more tonight. And Najee Harris at 49.5, he went over that number at seven of the last nine games a season ago for the Steelers. I think it's a ground and pound type of game, a real AFC North rivalry with no love lost tonight in the Steel City between Pittsburgh and Cleveland. We'll finish with a couple of college football thoughts up next here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We're back for just a few more minutes on FFC. It is Football Full Circle on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 159, and of course all across the Sports Grid Radio Network. Lisi, we never get enough time on these Monday shows to look back on Sunday in the NFL and Saturday in college football. But let's talk a little CFB. And of course, Joe, the game of the weekend was late night on Saturday out in Boulder, the Rocky Mountain Showdown between Colorado and Colorado State. The Buffs were a 23.5-point favorite, Joe, and the game had everything. Rivalries, a lot of very highly anticipated play, a lot of enthusiasm out there, a couple of dirty shots as well in a rivalry game, one that will have Travis Hunter sadly sidelined for a little bit of time, and there should be repercussions for Henry Blackburn on the other side, the safety that laid the hit on Hunter for CSU. But ultimately, Joe, after two overtimes, Colorado prevails, keeping their season perfect and unbeaten 3-0 record now for Deion Sanders' Buffaloes, 43-35 in double OT.
Yeah, great game. And you're right. That kid should be suspended. I mean, he's got a lacerated liver. Travis Hunter, he's out 3 to 4 weeks. So they're going to need him big picture if they are going to make a potential run at a Pac-12 championship. That aside, Shedeur Sanders' 98-yard drive to tie that ball game up with about a minute and a half left. Dynamic effort. He was under pressure early and often. Amazing. I mean, credit Deion Sanders. I will say this. Jay Norvell, you score in overtime. You're down 35-34. You kick the extra point. Why? Go for two. You're on a hostile environment. You have the football with 2 yards to go. What are you hoping for? Great effort by Colorado, but a missed opportunity for Colorado State.
Certainly so. They do cover as a 23.5-point favorite. To be a big favorite this past weekend in college football was difficult. Georgia had to come back in the second half against South Carolina. They did not cover as a 26.5-point favorite. Same story for Florida State holding on against BC. Alabama might not know how to play offense any longer. A 17-3 win for the Crimson Tide. He's Joe Lisi. I'm Ben Stevens. We'll be back tomorrow on Football Full Circle, starting at noon Eastern time here on Sports Grid Radio.